Well, due to various challenges, the Road Accident Fund is on a course to become government's largest contingent liability by 2021-2022. Cabinet has in the meantime approved Collins Letswalo's appointment as the organization's CEO. And while Minister Mbalula has expressed confidence mainly in print articles about his ability to turn the Road Accident Fund around, the minister has steered clear of defending the appointment this evening with us. Some argue that it's a controversial appointment given Collins' past at PRASA, but we've got the man himself, so let's get into the detail about his plans for the ailing Road Accident Fund. Collins, thanks so much for joining us this evening. So your appointment has come under severe legal attack, being challenged in fact as irrational in the current environment, with South Africans so frustrated calling for an end to corruption, accountability, good governance. Are you the right man for the job? Why should your appointment satisfy the public?
Well, thank you very much, and thank you very much to the viewers. I think people must acquaint themselves with what happens in the space. I was at PRASA. There were allegations that I paid myself, and I've been since been cleared by the courts. The courts of South Africa found nothing wrong with it. In fact, as late as in the year 2018 in December, Sunday Times printed an apology about printing the issue that I paid myself monies that I did not pay myself. So I've been cleared. That's one. Two, I pride myself with my track record of being someone that fights corruption and things that are wrong in the state. And I think I have the ability. I would not have applied for this position if I didn't think that I can make a difference.
Okay. Well, the criticism, I'm sure you're no stranger to, Collins, because it ranges from the basics. So, you know, your inexperience in the insurance space to a checkered track record where you've been seconded as CFO of the Department of Transport, inefficient in turning the eNATIS system around, and then fired, as you've highlighted, as CEO of PRASA for hiking your salary 350% as well. So, as a newly appointed CEO of an SOE, before we get into the Road Accident Fund itself, what do you think is the problem when it comes to, generally speaking, getting South Africa's SOEs right and working efficiently?
Well, it has been it comes against the background of what has happened, and I think South Africans sometimes are right in looking at matters the way they are, and they critique these matters. I want to clarify this issue that I don't have any experience in matters of fund management. By the way, I'm one of the founder members of the reserves management at the South African Reserve. I cut my teeth there. I worked there for 5 years. I have been in international banking for a very long time. I mean, someone must go to my CV and look at it, and people will tell you that I moved from there. I became the director of financial modeling and risk analysis at the Department of Public Enterprises. I became a chief director for corporate finance. I am the one that unbundled SAA out of Transnet. So I don't know what people say when they say that I don't have the experience. I think people must go back to my CV and see my credentials. I have never failed on eNATIS. By the way, I'm one of the people that took on Tasima and took away eNATIS back to the state where it belongs. And my track record in the state speaks for itself. I think let's go back and look at this thing. I think I'm the best man for the job. That's why I applied for it. And everyone was allowed to apply for this.
Okay, so what's your plan moving forward then, Collins, where your task is to turn around government's second largest contingent liability for Eskom? What's the priority when it comes to turning the Road Accident Fund around?
Look, the issue is the Road Accident Fund has never been run like a fund. It has always been run like a disbursement fund where we disperse funds. We are now looking at the way it's structured in terms of the funding. For instance, we are paying lump sums to people instead of actually paying receiving our money in annuity. So if people understand fund management, they'll tell you that there is an asset and liability mismatch there. That's where we are going to come in and change those issues. We have been much more focused on litigation, which is not the intention of the fund. The intention of the fund is to pay claimants in time, and that should be done within 120 days. We currently are spending about 17 billion, dispensing 26 billion. So it will tell you that the administrative costs are very high as it is, and we need to reduce that. And that's where we are starting. Why people are unhappy with what we are doing is because we want to cut legal costs by 75%, which is about 7.5 billion over the next 3 years. That money must actually go to buying us assets that must match the liabilities in the long term. So I think that we've got a good strategy to turn around this entity.
Part of the moves that you will be making is bringing legal in-house, and that, you know, in an attempt to, as you say, reduce your cost or your fees by 70% over the next 3 years. Do you have the capacity and the caliber, the right caliber of people to go down this path effectively?
Yes, we do. Remember that we've got the scale. For instance, now we are paying 180 million a year to actuaries that are calculating 20,000 calculations, which would give you about 9,000 per calculation. I mean, that is inefficient. So we're going to deal with those matters. We will hire our own actuaries that will come in. And I would tell you that rotating fund in its envisaged form will be a better institution, and then we'll hire the right people for the right jobs. So it's something that we are doing, and we are turning around this entity, and we are confident that we are going to be able to do that.
What targets have you set, you know, when we're looking at hitting goals here? How would the public be able to gauge the success of your initiatives? Does it simply boil down to time and cost metrics, bottom line?
Not only that, I think the issue is to change the structure of how we look at the road accident fund as we go forward. For instance, the issue around costs, of course, it's an issue. The issue about how we use our revenue, and issues around the liquidity. If you look at the money that we receive it monthly, as it were, but we then pay this money in lump sums. And we give someone 10 million. For instance, if someone is injured and can't work for the next, let's say, 39, we pay that person until 65, but we pay the money now. The question is, why should you do that? Because you just need to match that with that, and that how we're going to do it. We're going to buy assets. In that way, we'll invest in assets, and we'll have our own asset portfolio that will actually help us to match the liabilities in the future. So I think that we have got a better option of dealing with what we have currently. And of course, the issue is going to be the fuel levy going forward. How are we going to be able to make sure that what we get as liabilities out of that is matched by the revenue that
we. So, do you see this being enough to manage the immediate finances of the fund? These steps that you are taking, because you're looking at what, about a 20 billion rand deficit and 5 months of lockdown, reducing the inflows of petrol levies.
Yes, that's why I'm saying that if you look at it, we receive this money on a monthly basis. We get about 43 billion a year, which is about 3.6 billion each and every month. So if you look at that, you would see that our mismatch is because we pay some of this money in lump sum. If we start to pay this money on an annuity basis, we should do better in that regard. That's the first part. Secondly, is that we can raise this money because we know that we have got a cash flow that is steady. We can go to the market and raise a bond of about that amount to at least match our short-term debt that we have. So that if we then deal with that, we are able to spread our liabilities across as our money is coming in. And I think that should hold us steadily over the next year. And we think that in next year, somewhere in June, we should be able to turn around.
Well, we'll be keeping an eye on developments and the success you're having with it, Collins. Let's leave it there for now. Thanks so much for your time this evening. That, of course, the Road Accident Fund CEO, Collins Letswallow.